Now let me ask you an honest question. You give me an honest answer. Don't you feel better? You see, the enemy wants you to avoid using the only thing that can defeat him at all costs. He'll take everything you've got to keep you from being in a spiritual authority. People that serve in the armed forces respect the authority that is above them. When someone calls them into attention, they rise and submit unto the command. Now, we don't serve in the armed forces. Some of us have, but we serve in a force together. Don't you know that? You're not in this walk of life by yourself, and you're not going through the things you're going through by yourself. We have to identify with one another before we can come together. We've got to identify with each other's problems before that we can ever come into agreement of the Spirit. I don't know who I'm talking to. Maybe we're just teaching so that we can come together quicker than we have been, but we've got to identify that all of us are in a struggle so that we're able to support each other in our times of weakness. I'm reminded when Jesus performed miracles. This isn't what I was going to preach on. This is what I feel led to say. I'm reminded when Jesus walked in Capernaum, how he performed miracle upon miracle upon miracle. And some theologians would say that Capernaum was his headquarters because he wasn't received well in his hometown. He could not perform multiple miracles in a place where unbelief plagued him as a human being. So Capernaum was a place that he went to often. It was a place that he felt comfortable working in. And there was a people that bore witness to all of the good things that he was doing. But he encountered a lame man at that time. There was a lame man that was in that place. Now, when you talk about somebody that's lame, we commonly say that they lack the ability to move their body. But when you examine what lame means, we're talking about that the body isn't understanding the command of the mind. Therefore, the body cannot move when the mind is speaking to it through the head. Now, if you will recognize Jesus in Capernaum at that time, stay with me. I'm getting to a good point. He was the head of that place. When he spoke to those that needed healing, they were healed. When he spoke to those that were blind, they received sight. And when he walked in that place, he was the head. But he encountered a lame man. Stay with me right now. When you look at the lame man, you can see the city of Capernaum that saw the miracles, yet did not identify with what Jesus was really all about. They had seen the good things that he could do, yet they did not move up to what he was talking about. You can bear witness to a lot of good things in your life, but unless you learn who the head is and who is in control, you will not move when the head begins to speak to you. We've given the command by God to serve him in the boldness of the Spirit, yet we act like we don't hear the command of the word. We've been given the command to dwell in the Spirit of God, yet we don't listen, even though we know that it feels good. Man, I feel the power of God. You've got to learn who the head is of your life so that the body will begin to move and church will have great times if we'll know who the head is in this place. So the lame man is representing a city that would not be moved. The physical lame man was representing a spiritually lame city. It was representing a people that had grown complacent, a people that did not heed to the authority that got things done. If we are going to move forward, and that's what I was sitting there praying tonight, because I've got a lot right now going on. And I keep saying, God, I don't want to slow down. I want to keep going. I don't want to get stuck in anything. And I don't know if anybody else is here with me in this place. But we've been stuck here before. We've grown complacent before.
We've grown grievous of the things that God has done for us. And we've been unhappy even though that we're the most blessed people that I know. And we grow complacent upon God. And we lose who our authority is. And therefore we become spiritually paralyzed without the ability to move when God moves. I'm going to tell you, if you're not moving freely, if you heard it spoken to you and you're not moving freely, then there's some things that are disturbing the communication of God. I'm telling you what, every single day this week before I've went to work, I've had a hard time. But let me tell you, this is a testimony. I've had to get down all the way on my face and my heart would begin to cry out. But all of a sudden, God was able to speak in a way that I was able to move and see things begin to change. I didn't want to get complacent in these trials. I can't afford to stay back and dwell in depression. I can't afford to lose another day to the devil. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but it's time that you heed to the Spirit of God. I don't care what denomination you are. When God speaks to you, you've got to move. When He tells you to praise Him, you've got to move. When He tells you to preach His word, you've got to move.
In the very moment He saw this lame man, the lame man was upon a bed. And if we're not too careful, we will take what is causing our paralysis, and rather than addressing the paralysis, we will build a comfort underneath it that it may continue to rest in its present state. Some of us have been paralyzed, and it's time that when we hear Jesus speaking to our heart, that we take up our bed and walk. There were people that were in Capernaum. They were religious, and all they set out to do was compare Jesus to the religion. They sought out to accuse Him according against to the religion that they believed. And I'm here to tell you that He didn't line up to the religion they had set out. He was doing something a little bit different than what they had known all their life. And I don't know about you, but I've been in religion far too long to let the enemy keep me from my joy. I know that I need to only preach 30 minutes and sit down, but if God speaks, I'm going to heed and give Him all the time that He wants me to speak. And no matter what anybody will try to do, it will prosper. Even if you take the microphone, it'll prosper. Even if you leave, it'll prosper. Even if you don't agree, it'll go out, because Jesus is the head. We put comforts under our pain. We want support from people for our pain, for what's keeping us paralyzed. Jesus was speaking to them and said, what is it easier to do? To say, thy sins be forgiven, or to take up the bed and walk? Either way that you examine that passage, there's something that has to happen within you. How many of you can say, by sounding off an amen to me, that you know God speaks to you? Now, if you were in a place where you felt like that God wasn't speaking to you, stay after church and we'll work with you and pray with you till you begin to hear something. But if you know that God's speaking to you, now I know the amens might not be as many when I ask you this question. How many of you, when you hear God speak, will obey what He tells you? It's okay. We're identifying with one another, seeing that we all have the same dilemma. When we get to a place where we grow complacent in our paralysis or our flesh, then it's hard to rise up by faith and get up. And it's hard to see your heart as forgiven. When you consider having your sins forgiven, we're talking about a lost person. And when we're talking about take up your bed and walk, we're talking about people that know Christ, have faith, and all that they need is to get up. I'm sharing something that's been in my spirit all day long. I couldn't hardly work. I couldn't shake it. But I'm ready to get up. I'm tired of laying down. I'm tired of just laying in the bed. I'm talking about even your real bed. I'm tired of just laying there wondering what's going to happen. I can imagine that lame person was saying in their mind, when will I ever get up and walk? And some of you might be asking that, when am I going to get out of this? God sent me here today just for you. The moment that the words of Jesus came forth, that man rose.
and was made whole, not to return to the same bed that he once laid on all his life. And once you finally get out, don't you dare go lay back down in it. We are all guilty in this place of getting out of that bed, going through a little something and crawling right back in it, hiding under the blankets of our fears and hiding under the shroud of worry and living, wondering when things will come to pass. But I'm going to tell you, as bold as I'm standing here, that you can get to a place in God. When you get up in the morning, you won't worry about where it's going to come from. You won't worry about who's going to do it. You won't worry about getting gas in your tank. And you won't worry about the cancer that's trying to take over your body. You won't worry about the debts that are before you. But you'll get your mind in a place where you're able to get up and see yourself full of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to say this so that when we put it on the internet that people will hear this as far as it goes. When we're not living a life full of the Holy Ghost, we're living an unfulfilling life. We have the potential to fulfill a purpose, but without the substance and desire to do it, we'll never get there. The Holy Ghost is what quickens a mortal body. When Jesus spoke to that lame person, there was something within them that heard it. When you consider Samuel and Eli, and back in the day when God was beginning to call him forth, he didn't at first recognize the voice that was speaking to him. Went forth and inquired of whom was calling his name. And some of us may be young in our Christian walk, or young in knowing what to do when God speaks, but I'm here to tell you, it's not just you. It's not just your feelings. When you feel God and he speaks to you, don't stay in wondering if it's God. You've eventually got to get off the diving board and stop looking at the deep end and saying, I'm never going in. And you've got to jump into the rivers of living water and be submerged completely in his spirit, that no matter what may come against you, no weapon formed against you will prosper. But that was talking to people full of the Holy Ghost. Nothing will come against you and win if you'll dwell in his presence. I'm going to improv. I want to read one scripture to you. I praise you, Lord Jesus. Go with me to 2 Peter. We're going to get in the third chapter. I just feel this in my spirit. We're going to start at verse 8 in the third chapter. I have never been more certain in all the years I've preached that God is speaking to somebody right now. I feel it. Read this with me. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. I don't know if we really wrap our minds around what that means. How much that God is in control, and how much he cares about our life. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. That's talking about those that walk according to carnality and naturally. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any, say any, that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. You see where we're going with this? In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all, say all holy conversation and godliness, looking, say looking for and hasting, say hasting. That means be quick unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Keep on reading. Nevertheless, we according to his promise, say look, we look for the heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be, say that word with me, diligent, that ye may be found of him in what? Peace, without spot, and blameless. That's talking about living in righteousness and being holy, that you're led into a peace of mind. That is, in your mind, you know that you are doing all that you know to do that is right. And walking in a place where you are at peace. That's what that's talking about. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him that hath written unto you. The Lord's going to come, folks.
And if we're laying in our beds and we're laying paralyzed in our problems, things are going to happen suddenly. And we better be ready and looking. You do not begin to seek for anything until you're at a place of peace. For when we are frustrated, we're not in a place where we can think clearly. Therefore, we don't seek clearly. When we've got a problem with finance, what's the first thing that we're trying to do? Get some money together. When we're hungry, what's the first thing that we're going to do? Seek for food that we will eat it. When we're fighting with somebody, what are we trying to do? We're trying to find some way to resolve it. Do what we have to do to fix it. Now, God is going to come for His children one day. And He's looking for a church that is walking in righteousness, walking in holiness, and by the peace of God, walking, looking for Him. But I'm worried about His church, and I want us to all know in this place that if we get in a place where we get complacent in our problems, and He calls for you, it makes me wonder when we look inside, are we really doing all that we know to do? Are we moving when God says move? If we were moving when God said move, the church would be more than just a place to hear music. If we were moving when God said move, you'd see people walking the streets, asking people to come to church. If church was moving the way that God instructed it to, we wouldn't spend so much time worrying about each other, but we'd be worrying about the lost and dying generation. I'm not saying don't give regard for your brethren, encourage them, but what I'm talking about is that we spend too much time worrying about if they like me, if they don't like me, if they liked what I did, if they don't like what I did. God didn't want us to get to a place where it was bickering back and forth with each other and only doing what will please you. I love you, but I didn't come just to make you happy. I come that you would be spiritually fulfilled. That is what the foolishness of preaching will bring, and it's what will bring truth to come forth in your life. And because I know this much, if we don't line up to the truth, the things that are done in darkness shall be brought forth into the light. The things that we try to get away with and lay in our bed, it'll be exposed and will be shown as people that have the ability to move but yet are not. And when we do not move and we disobey, the Bible says it is sin. Grown-ups in here, it's time to grow up a little bit. When you're backing down and not letting Jesus be the head, and when you're disobeying God, you're not hurting me, you're not hurting Doris, you're not hurting Brother Gary, you're not hurting the praise team, you're not even hurting anybody around you, but you're hurting yourself, and more than that, you're hurting those that are watching you. You need to know that people are looking at your life, and they need to see that Jesus is the head of everything. You see, God will call for His children one day, but don't you know that while we wait, He still sees us? Everything. The Word says we have to give an account for every idle word, and I'm just as guilty. Not necessarily being negative towards others, but speaking doubt. You see that idol, that stillness, that paralysis, speaking things in idleness won't lead us forward in God. 75% of all the things I hear when people come through a prayer line, they say they want to be closer to God. But what I'm afraid of is probably 70% of the 75% hear God speak, but don't move in the things He's speaking to. Another way I can put this, when God spoke to me about my drug addictions, I remember feeling His presence. And I remember hearing the encouragement first. The encouragement comes first. He'll lift you up that you'll realize your strength. Then the truth comes forth and shows you that you must lay down these things in order to have a brand new life. When that truth comes out, that is your opportunity to move to the truth that is spoken to you. And best I can tell, I have heard people testify even unto their passing that they could be closer to God. So that always tells me there's more room to draw in. You know, as you draw into God's presence, and I'm talking to some people that need to learn this, the first thing that you should seek for from God is when you lay down every trial that's on your mind, there's a pattern. You begin to feel God's peace rest upon you. And you'll begin to feel encouragement. That is the stirring up of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. As you begin to feel that, your heart, I mean, it's not even something that you do on your own. Your heart will naturally seek for God's will. There's been some times that I went down to pray for finance and ended up praying for peace. There's been some times I ended up wanting to pray that God would take care of some people that are really bothering me. But I ended up praying that God would bless them. When you begin to, His peace begins to move, you by the Spirit of God begin to work towards God's will.
And as you begin to work towards that in your prayer life, he begins to speak to you. And I'm glad he speaks on a level we can understand. Because if what God told you, he told me the same thing, I may not be able to move up because I don't understand. I remember I smoked for 8 years. And, you know, I'm not seeking for opinions on whether you think it's right or wrong. I'm giving you a testimony. I'd been preaching for a while. And so, you know, in my own self, I didn't find any fault in it. But then one night I was praying. Wasn't seeking anything related to that at all. But I remember my heart started going towards God. What is your will for me? And he quickened me and reminded me of a pack I had in my pocket. And I don't know, it just felt like that something was going to burn my leg off. I felt such conviction. And I knew that God was talking to me. Brother, do you think that you would have been any less before God if you had not given it up that night? I didn't want to take the chance. I remember laying there, and I remember there were other people, they were praying for something totally different, and God revealed it to me that I could do it. I felt the encouragement. I heard him speak, and that's all I heard. You can do this. And I felt that right there, and I said, God, I want to be free. If it's your will for me to be free. And I remember laying it on the ground that night, and I never had another one after that. I smoked 8 years, 1 to 2 packs a day. Laid it down instantly, cold turkey, no rehab, no books, no 12 steps, no nothing other than the Holy Ghost.